Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Jacob.
Hi, my name is Jacob. I've been studying for the LSAT for about 1.5 months now. I was introduced to LSAT Demon Daily about 3 weeks ago from a friend of mine and have been a big fan thus far. I listen to your podcasts religiously on my commutes. My question is, how do I get over the hump between high score and perfect score in sections? My initial diagnostic was a 161. I have been scoring in the 168 to 173 range for my last 10 tests. However, I can't stop making small mistakes in all three of the sections. My goal is a 175 plus, which I think it should be given your diagnostic of 161. That's an excellent diagnostic. I usually find myself split between two very attractive answer choices.
Okay.
I feel that I could make an argument for both answer choices most of the time. Okay. Well, we know your problem, Jacob.
You're not reading carefully enough.
Yep.
Not thinking about the argument yep. carefully enough. And you're not thinking about the answer choices carefully enough. Or you're probably actually making an argument for an answer choice that's not even on the page.
Yep. Jacob continues, I know this can't be the case, as there has to be one absolutely correct answer on the LSAT. This happens often for all reading comp questions and for LR questions that ask what part of the argument is X or what is the author's method of reasoning. Why do you think he's narrowing it down to two generally is because you don't predict the answers. And so then you get like sucked into these answer choices that Jacob is calling attractive, but that we know are conclusively wrong if you read every word.
Yeah. And Jacob seems to start to know that.
He gets that. But then he's like, I feel that I could make an argument for both answer choices most of the time. And you just couldn't, Jacob. If you tried that with Ben, Ben would be like, what now? No, that's not what that says. Or what? How does that make sense? That's not what that means. Or, huh? That's not what the question asked you. Or something, but there's just a reason why it's wrong. And if you're always narrowing it down to two, I think you're just being too passive. You need to be looking for reasons why answers are wrong, not looking for reasons why answers are right. What do you think, though, about this specific complaint that it's happening on reading comp and then reasoning questions on LR?
Well, let's start with the reasoning questions in LR, because that's pretty easy. What's happening in those answer choices is they're giving you somewhat abstract descriptions of what's happening in the passage. And as you're reading those abstract descriptions, you're not treating them literally enough. You're reading them and then you're imbuing them with meaning that's not there. You need to take them literally. You need to say, does this absolutely have to be true? Word by word.
There's a reason why that other answer is just conclusively wrong. Probably because it's too strong. And I think that that's probably the case for most of your reading comprehension woes as well. There's going to be something
These are all must be true questions. Sorry, yep. I mean to cut you off. But yeah.
No, that's absolutely
right.
That's what
we're talking to. Yeah.
We have one brain now. It's all must be true questions on reading comp. And certainly these reasoning questions in LR are of the must be true variety.
Yep.
And so the reason why the wrong answer is wrong is because you can't prove it. The reason why the right answer is right is because you can prove it. And there's something in that wrong answer that probably is too specific or too broad or just something different that isn't in the evidence.
Yeah.
Jacob, if you're still with us, if you're still studying, which I hope you are, unless you've already gotten your 175 plus, you just need to be, you know, you can't fight with the test. So you're saying two things that can't both be true, right? You're saying, I feel that I could make an argument for both answer choices, but I understand that there has to be one absolutely correct answer. So your problem is that you're making an argument for answers. And on these types of questions, you shouldn't be helping the answers at all. You shouldn't be making an argument for the answer. You should be looking for arguments against answers.
Yeah. Why is that answer bad? Why is that answer bad? You may eliminate all five, but then you just find the least bad answer.
Yep.
I wanted to say one other thing. It says, however, I can't stop making small mistakes in all three of the sections. As someone who's, you started with a 161, you're already in a very good range. I think you have obviously some good understanding of this test. My fear, I don't know if this is what you're doing, but my fear is that you're looking at the section as a whole. And I think that every time you do a question, you need to think about that question. Your job is to do that question and think about nothing else. I think you have the ability to kill these answers, to kill these questions, if you focus on them one at a time. I think you're much less likely to make small mistakes.
Yep. You're pursuing that 175 instead of pursuing one question.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, then you skate the surface sometimes and you're like, well, I mean, these both, they're both good. It's well, maybe probably this one. And instead you need to take your time there to just rule out conclusively the wrong answer. Well, the 161 diagnostic, I do think that you can get to perfection on maybe every section.
Yeah, really close to it. Don't worry about getting there, but I think you can. Yeah.
Thanks, Jacob. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.